Last week we considered God's call to parents. But before we come to God's call for children, we need to recognize one basic truth of life. Children need parenting. No one is born into this world with wisdom. No child enters this world to know right from wrong. How to resist temptation. How to build healthy relationships, or how to walk with God. From birth, children depend on others almost for everything until the day they become adults. And God designed it to be that way. God created children to be raised in families, to be trained, to be nurtured, to be loved, and to be guided. And as they grow, they need to mature not just physically, but also spiritually. They need to learn wisdom, knowing God. They need to learn how to live in God's world, in God's way. Last week we noted that our Heavenly Father knows what He is talking about when He speaks about parenting. He also knows who He is talking to when He speaks to parents and speaks to children. God knows a child's heart. We saw that last time. He knows what every single child desires. He knows what a child knows, their thoughts, their words, their actions. And God has also placed inside of each child that He has created a conscience, His own inner witness. A witness between right and wrong. And God also has the truth. The truth that all of us need, and especially that children need. This is important because we live in a culture that increasingly tells children that they should be left to make their own way in life, to determine their own values, to decide for themselves what is right and wrong. Actually, that's a very misleading statement. I want to take almost 5 minutes and just talk about that because it's not true. But anyway, let's just move on. And we go with what culture is saying. Children are increasingly told that they should make their own way in life. Well, both Scripture and experience tells us otherwise. The Bible says that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Proverbs 22 verse 15. So left to their own devices, children do not naturally move to wisdom, but towards folly. And Proverbs 29 verse 15 warns that a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. We see it all around us, don't we? Children without guidance, loving guidance, healthy boundaries, instruction and discipline often become vulnerable to harmful influences, destructive choices, confusion at the very least, and regret. So as a parent, I would say, my son, do not trust in your own heart to lead you. You may feel that you know right from wrong, but slow down and listen. Your feelings change quickly, but God's wisdom never changes. My daughter, not every voice that sounds right is right. Many will say, do whatever makes you happy. But God says, do what makes you holy. Children do not merely need freedom. They need direction. They do not merely need acceptance. They need instruction. They don't merely need information. They need wisdom. They do not merely need rules. They need to be pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ who can change their hearts. That's why Proverbs 22 and verse 6 calls parents to faithfully train their children in God's ways. But if parents are called to train, then children are called to listen. That brings us to God's call for children. At the forefront of this call of God to children to listen stands a passage like Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, which says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck." These verses teach us that not only children are instructed with the responsibility of teaching their children, but God also speaks directly to children about their responsibility to listen. So, my daughter, when your mother calls you to be careful with those friends, don't roll your eyes. Bad company corrupts good morals. Love sometimes seems like a warning. My son, my child, don't treat instructions from your parents like interruptions. God often speaks to us, commands in daily life. Come here, turn that off. Please tell me the truth, my child. Obedience in small things trains your heart for bigger things. These are not merely words of a mother and a father to a son and a daughter. But behind these voices stand the voice of God Himself, lovingly calling you, every child, to the path of wisdom and life. In His kindness, God has made provision for children for their protection against sin and harm. One of His greatest gifts is the gift of parents to teach, to warn, to instruct, to correct, and to guide. Of course, not everyone has had godly parents. That's true. Some have grown up with only one parent. Others have experienced neglect, failure, and disappointment. And yet, in spite of all the imperfections of parents, God has placed parents. Yes, He's also placed pastors and teachers and other authorities to restrain evil and to encourage good and to point to the path of wisdom. That's why Proverbs says, "My son, hear your father's instruction and forsake not your mother's teaching." Notice those words, "hear" and "do not forsake." God is saying to every child, listen carefully. Do not throw away what you have been taught. Think of traveling on an unfamiliar road. You pay attention to the road signs. Many of us rely on GPS or on Google Maps. You listen carefully to those directions, don't you? Because you don't want to get lost. You want to avoid the wrong turns. You want to avoid going up a one-way street. The signs and the directions are there to help you. It's the same. God says that the instruction of faithful parents are like road signs or a GPS for life. Through them, He points us to the path of wisdom and life and away from sin and destruction. This is why Proverbs repeatedly says, "my son," more than 20 times, or just "son." We can make it "daughter" more than 60 times. God is not shouting from a distance. He's speaking frequently and tenderly, personally, lovingly. He's saying, listen, my child, I am here to help you. Parents are God's appointed servants to point children towards His truth and help keep them on the right path. Children, God's call for you is simple, but it is profound. Listen. Receive God's instruction from your parents. The path of wisdom, therefore, begins with a listening heart. But having called children to listen to their parents in Proverbs 1, verses 8 and 9, the Apostle Paul goes on to tell us what listening should look like in practice. That passage that Eric read for us, Ephesians chapter 6, but only up to verse 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you in the land and that you may live long. Obedience simply means listening with the intention of doing what is being asked. It involves willingly submitting to the authority that God has placed in our lives. Obedience to parents is really then obedience to God. Obedience to parents is what it means in many ways for a child to follow Christ. And Paul adds, he says, for this is right. Obedience is not an arbitrary rule for a child, but it's God's good design for family, and as Neil mentioned yesterday, even for society. Families flourish when children obey. Homes unravel when they refuse. Think of a child who refuses to wear his seatbelt because he thinks he knows better. His parents insist not to spoil his fun, but to protect him. In the same way, many parental rules are not barriers to happiness. They are safeguards for life. And then Paul reinforces this command by quoting the fifth commandment, Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother. Honor is related to obedience, but it goes deeper than obedience. Whilst obedience is especially required of children and young children during the years when they live under parental authority, honor is something that's a lifelong process for all children. A lifelong responsibility to honor parents. What does that mean? Is to show them love, gratitude, respect, and proper regard, because God has placed them in our lives and because they love and care for us. So my son, obey the first time, not the fifth time. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Obeying is better than sacrifice. My daughter, speak respectfully to me when you disagree with me. You can express your thoughts without disrespecting authority. Words can either build up a home or it can burn it down. Why is showing honor so important? Because parents are God's appointed servants in a child's life. He uses them to teach the truth, restrain evil, direct children towards Christ. To honor parents, therefore, as I've already said, is connected to honoring God. Young children when they honor their parents primarily, it involves for them obedience, prompt, respectful obedience, following the instructions of their parents. For example, when mommy says, pack away those toys, to do so without arguing and without delaying. But as children grow older, teenagers, for them, honor starts becoming a matter of accepting the guidance of their parents, embracing their wisdom, and maintaining a teachable attitude. Naturally, they will be given more and more responsibility as they grow older. But honoring their parents remain unchanged. For example, when considering a friendship or a relationship, listen carefully to your parents, their counsel. Ask their counsel, not dismissing because you think you know better. Children need instruction and training as they grow up. And as they do, they are constantly influenced by people, experiences and circumstances around them. Children grow up in a world of influence. And this includes family life and values, relationships at home, and the way things are dealt with, like for example decisions or conflict is handled. It includes school environment, friends, teachers, influences of culture that absorbs children starting from digital devices, as we know so well these days, entertainment and society around them. So children are shaped by these experiences and influences, but also by deeper experiences such as joy, achievement, loss, disappointment, illness, trauma, rejection, failure, hardship, even things like economic pressure in the home, migration, being raised by a single parent, I mentioned that earlier. These all leave a mark on a child's story. And all of these things can influence a child deeply, for better or for worse. So when it comes to these influences in a child's life, we should guard against making two fundamental mistakes. The first is denial. Pretending that upbringing, culture, and experiences don't matter. They do. They can, in significant ways. Can I tell you a story of a man whose childhood experiences had a lifelong impact on him? Mr. Dijkstra. He grew up in Holland during the Second World War. As a young boy, he lived under German occupation of the Netherlands. Life was extremely difficult for him and his family. He often saw days when he and his family did not have enough to eat. They often would go without things that we would call the basic necessities of life. Many years later, Lisa and I actually met him as an elderly man, and he loved telling stories about his life. But his house also told a story. His home and his garage was packed with every imaginable thing. Margarine containers, ice cream tubs, bottle caps, screws, bolts, pieces of timber. Do you remember that man, Sonnen Butter? Anyway, we'll remind you who he was. Nothing seemed to be thrown away. His house was like a personal warehouse. Everything was carefully stored in case it might be needed one day. Why? Because of the hardships he experienced as a child in war. It shaped the way he viewed possessions, waste, and security. And having lived through years of scarcity, he found it so difficult to part with anything. His story reminds us that shaping influences in our childhood can have a deep and a lasting impact on our lives. The circumstances of childhood shape us in ways sometimes that are very powerful. And they can last long after the circumstances have passed. So when it comes to shaping influences in a child's life, we should guard against the thought that it has no impact. But in guarding against denial, we should also guard against another danger. The second is determinism. Determinism. Thinking that background and past decides everything about you. That is neither true. Just like thinking it has no impact. The Bible teaches that shaping influences are only part of the story. They are real and often powerful, yes, but they are not ultimate. They shape us, but they do not determine us. The decisive question is not simply, what has happened to me? But how do I respond to God in the midst of it? So, my daughter, not everything around you is meant to shape you. Some things are meant to be resisted. Do not be conformed to this world. My son, just because everybody in your class is doing it doesn't make it right. You shall not follow the crowds to do evil. My child, guard your heart. Guard what you watch, what you laugh at, the way you speak. These things are not neutral. They are forming us. My daughter, popularity is not wisdom. It's better to be approved by God than to be applauded by people. Your heart response is more decisive than your circumstances. This means that if two children, even growing up in the same home, go to the same school, experience similar hardships, can still become two entirely different people. Why? Because the heart does not merely absorb life. It responds to it. Proverbs chapter 9 shows this clearly. Listen to verses 7 through to 9. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will still be wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. And then verse 10 shows us what ultimately determines whether a child becomes a mocker or a wise man. Do you want to hear what verse 10 says? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. It is the fear of the Lord that makes one wise, and it is that wisdom that determines how we respond. This is so powerfully seen in the life of Joseph. His life was filled with painful shaping influences. He was rejected and betrayed by his brothers. He was sold into slavery. He faced injustice and imprisonment. Yet he did not become bitter. Why? Because his life was not ultimately interpreted through those circumstances, but through his trust in the sovereign goodness of God. He said to his brothers, "What you meant for evil, God is meant for good. When our heart is turned toward God, even the painful shaping influences are not wasted. That's how the scriptures teach us. Romans 8:28. For God works all things together for good, for those who love God and are called according to his purposes. Influences are not determinative. And when we come to the gospel, 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us even a greater truth. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. God can actually give a new heart that begins to respond to life differently. He's doing it all the time. So what does that mean for you? What does it mean for a child? It means for a child, yes, life is shaping them. Life is shaping you, but you're not trapped. Your family, your school, and your experiences matter deeply, but they are not the final word in your life. The most important question is, how does your heart respond to God? So while your story matters, your orientation to God matters more. Let's close with some practical applications. The first is this. Children sometimes, even often, see the instructions of and the teachings of their parents as restrictions. But did you notice how God sees them? In Proverbs 1 verse 9, he sees it as a blessing. He says there, it shall be a graceful garland on your head and a pendant on your neck when you listen to your parents' instruction and teaching. In Bible times, a garland and a pendant were symbols of honor, beauty, joy, and distinction. And God's point is simple. Wisdom makes the life of a child beautiful. A child who listens to godly instruction develops a character that pleases God and pleases parents and pleases others. In contrast, rejecting wisdom leads to shame, regret, and destruction. So children, do not despise the correction and the good advice of your parents. Receive it gratefully, knowing that God is using those instructions to shape your character, protect you from harm, and guide you in the path of life and wisdom. Secondly, and I've mentioned this before, but just to restate it, listening to parents ultimately is an act of obedience to God. It's actually one of the primary ways that a child can show obedience to God. By obeying their parents whom they can see, they obey God whom they cannot see. And when they do, they're honoring the Lord, who has entrusted them with the parents that he gave them. Of course, parents are not above God. If ever a parent is asking a child to disobey God, well, a child's loyalty, just like a wife's loyalty, just like a servant's loyalty, just like our loyalty, should rather be with the Lord. Yet then, for a child, they need to respond respectfully and honorably. In the third place, your family, friends, school, and experiences all influence you, but they do not determine you ultimately. I've said this already. It is the condition of our hearts and the way that we respond to God that becomes what determines us and what determines what will become of us. Now think of your life. If there's any young people here, children, you may still be young, but perhaps you've already rejected God's wisdom as it has been coming to you from your parents and chosen the path of folly. Yet even your sins don't have to determine you. Your failures are not the final word, and your circumstances are not the final word either. Jesus Christ is. Let me explain. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 and 31. The Apostle Paul says, because of him, God, you are in Christ Jesus, who has become to us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Did you hear that? Because of Christ. He has become to us wisdom of God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. In other words, Jesus Christ is greater than our sins. He's greater than our failures. He's greater than all past influences that may have shaped your life. He is not only wisdom. He personally is God's wisdom, and he is able to forgive and change and transform and redeem broken parts of any child's life of all those who belong to him. And how do we get to belong to him? By turning from our sins and placing our trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. So my son, my daughter, come to Christ. Come to him early. Come to him completely. He does not merely improve a person's life. He saves it. May God give our children a teachable spirit. Let's pray for that. A love for wisdom. A fear of God, and above all, a saving faith in Jesus Christ. Because our greatest hope is ultimately not sitting in our parenting. It is sitting in the grace of God at work in the lives of our children. Well, may the Lord bless our children and bless all of us for Jesus' sake.